Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Merry Christmas from the Adam Carolla Show. Can you guess which holiday classic Ozzy is reading from?
Teacher say every time a bell ring, an angel get the wing.
If you said It's a Wonderful Life.
Teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
You're correct. Merry Christmas from the Adam Carolla Show.
Fitz Dog in studio. Always good to see Greg Fitzsimmons. Live shows coming up all over the GD place, everybody. Going to be in Nyack, New York, going to be in Portland, going to be in Cleveland. All the dates and all the tickets, and it's all coming up. And you should go to the website, right? GregFitzsimmons.com?
Or just FitzDog. FitzDog.com.
Oh, FitzDog.com.
Yeah.
All right.
That's fine.
Do you have a GregFitzsimmons.com?
It's the same thing. It feeds at the same place.
Oh. Well, let's go to FitzDog.
It's like, you know, Trump's political organizations and his charitable.
It all funnels into Russia. I just was yelling into a phone. I have this a lot, and you guys tell me. And I think it's part of, at the end of my life, I'm going to be laying in my hospital bed, and it's going to be dick or not a dick. And I'm going to make an argument for not a dick because I talk to everyone on the phone like I'm in battle. Like I'm calling in an airstrike. Like I just want coordinates, and everyone else wants to go off on this journey somewhere, and they answer the questions in bizarre ways. And so what ends up happening is, like, I'm talking to Mike August on one line, and Olga calls on the other line, the nanny, and she goes, "I'm at Gravity World." And I go, "When are you and the kids going to be home?" And she'll go, "They're on one of the trampolines right now." And I go, "When are you and the kids going to be home?" And she goes, "There's a lot of traffic." And I go, "Just give me a number. Just yell out a number when you think you're going to be home. I won't hold you to it, but I'm asking a question." And then they go off in a whole bunch of different directions.
They want in and out.
I was doing voiceover here for Nate at the other shop, and I was asking him, "When does this air? When do we need this voiceover by?" And he's like, "It's going to go on Vero." You know, when people just go their own stupid direction. I just had Emmy on the other phone. He was getting some hardwood. He had showed a piece that, like, wouldn't fit in the van. I was like, "How many pieces won't fit in the van?" There's a bundle of five, and then there's a smaller bundle, and then the phone. And then I yell, how many in the van? Won't fit in the van?
Yeah.
How many won't fit in the van? Well, there's a bundle of six-footers that'll fit, and then the phone falls out.
Yeah.
I yelled, "How many won't fit in the van?" three times. He didn't answer three times. And then the phone went all fucking staticky, and then we couldn't get hold of him.
I picture you on one of those phones, and maybe Ball Bryan has it on a waistband, and he hands you the phone for each call.
It's on my backpack.
He's on the backpack, and you scream into it.
He's winding it up. By the way, you want to talk about the first guy to get killed in a war movie? The guy, you tell to wind up, give me the headquarters, and all of a sudden the guy's head's gone. And you're like, "What's going on?" Oh, Jesus Christ. That means it's bad.
Yep, that's what's
nobody else
bad.
Knows how to work the phone.
Yeah,
you got no quarters.
The second guy who gets it is the flamethrower guy. That's the guy who, you think you're going to burn some Nazis with your flame?
Yeah.
Au contraire, you shall be running on fire right out of the screenshot.
Right.
That means it's bad. Flamethrower guy goes up.
He's dead.
Phone guy goes up.
Meanwhile, the reporters never get hit.
They never
just stand
hit.
There taking pictures, interviewing people.
Yeah, it's weird. The reporters.
Yeah. The real enemy.
Yeah, the real enemy. Fake news, even back in Nazi Germany. All right. Max Paddock, do you have any theories as to why people don't answer my questions?
I'm eating right now. I don't know what's going on.
That's not an answer. That's not an answer.
Did you hear me yelling in the next room?
It was crazy.
It was kind of crazy.
I locked me, Gary, and Dylan in the conference room just because I didn't want to go out there.
Well, when you say to someone, "How many pieces of wood won't fit in the van?" you could have an answer, or we could go back and discuss the history of flooring.
It was Adam just repeating himself through the glass, like, "How many in the van? How many pieces don't fit in the van? How many pieces don't fit in the van?" It was crazy. Matt Bondelier just looks like he's going to cry.
Five bundles. All right. But here's my thing. Cell phones can be spotty. They're in and out. I'm in a hurry, and we're not fucking. So with all that in mind, feel free just to spit out an answer.
If
any of those things change, then we're going to need a little pillow talk. I get it.
Next 4 minutes.
You can't yell at people you're trying to fuck on a semi-regular basis. Just answer the question. Just answer the question. You can't do that.
That's right.
Because you don't get fucked.
Right. Yeah.
But I think you can do that to guys you aren't fucking.
They may want to fuck you after that, though. There may be like a testosterone thing that turns them on. So
like
you gotta
a sub-dom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You alpha male them, and they want to present after that. Mm. Happens in nature.
Like a baboon.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A red eye staring you down.
Yeah. I would say we need to, A, answer questions in a more timely fashion, and B, this happens a lot, and I don't know if it happens to you guys on the wind down, but there's a wind down on the cell phone where people are, so you go, okay, then I'll see you at noon. And they go, looking forward to it. And then you go, all right, see you later, buddy. And they go, see ya. And then you go to hang up and they go, we're going to have a good, and you're like, but you just hung up on them that, talking now. And it's like, because we said bye, I can't.
I do that 100%
of the time. 100% of the time. I hang up on everybody, and it's because we said bye, and then you went for lap two.
But here's where we probably part ways. You move on with your life. I'm riddled with guilt and anxiety, and I call them back and apologize and then hang up again.
Well, it's like calling Visa when you've got an issue, and then you go to hang up, and they go, if you want to stick around afterwards and fill out a report, and you're like, okay, great. We hope you enjoyed the services at Visa.
Right.
Okay, we did.
There's nothing else? Are you sure? Well, we wish you the happiest of holidays.
Yeah, and you feel like if you hang up too early, they're going to go into your account and like delete a payment you made or something.
Or buy a butt plug and just send it to your wife's Amazon account.
One of the diamond ones.
$1,000.
She'll make it a diamond.
Yep.
We will get into my top 10 list, most disgusted to sleep with me, in just one brief second. I want to tell you that this half of the show brought to you by Hunt a Killer at huntakiller.com/Adam. LifeLock, you know where to go, lifelock.com, and MedMen as well. All right, Dawson, you queued up. Chris, you have your levels right.
Yeah, Dawson does the levels, so he has the levels right.
Okay.
Yeah, we went over.
Go for 3 days in a row of turn down the music a little bit.
Yeah, I think we got
it. I like the music.
Yeah.
But I like clarity as well.
Is Greg familiar with the construct?
Go ahead,
I'm
Brian.
Missing the whole thing.
This is the moment of truth.
Okay. So we have asked our listeners. We've kept an informal running list over the years of women, notable women, who would be disgusted to have sex with Adam.
And big list.
There are a lot.
Yeah.
And finally, we decided to narrow it down, put it to a vote to our listeners, and we come up with the top 30. And now we're going to get to the top 10.
Lynette is not on this list.
So this is our
most certainly.
She cracked it last year, I think. Right?
She was number 14.
I'm on the list. Brian's wife is on the list.
It's upsetting.
Wow.
And again, we don't have anything to do with the list. These are just the listeners and the voters. And
I'm
going
to have one to add, which I think would trump all of yours.
She may be on there. She may also be on in the top 30. But here we go as we drill down to number one.
Today, we'll tick down the top 10 women who'd be most disgusted to have sex with Adam, based on your votes on Twitter and Facebook. We hope you all proudly displayed your I voted stickers. Before we go through the top 10, let's see some of this year's notable snubs. Our Blue Ribbon panel analyzed the nominations from the fans and were surprised these notable names were not in the running. She's a friend and former lover of his best pal. She's also a flaming liberal who would disagree with just about everything he says. Not on the list, Sarah Silverman.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
He's not a fan of Donald Trump, Republicans, or vagina. Another gay CNN anchor who'd be disgusted to have sex with Adam who didn't make the list, Don Lemon.
Wow.
Don Lemon gay?
He's black. He can't be gay.
She'd need sex with him like a fish needs a bicycle. Gloria Steinem did not make the list. She became famous after the Parkland shooting. And she's 19, so it's not creepy for us to mention. We were surprised she didn't make the list. She'd call BS on having sex with him. Gun control advocate Emma Gonzalez.
We didn't have to include that.
Yeah, shouldn't have made the list of not making the list.
Terry Schiavo didn't want to make.
And in a stunning turn of events, this talentless reality host and fashion model did not make the cut.
You should all be ashamed. How are there no votes for Heidi Klum?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. By the way, anyone who has an Emmy, it's worthless because she has Emmys. Yeah.
On to the top 10. She'd be so disgusted to have sex with Adam, she'd never be able to make a joke again. Good thing she was never funny in the first place. She definitely couldn't handle sex with Ace. At number 10, Chelsea Handler.
Mm. Oh, I don't know. She's had sex with weird people.
Yeah.
Midgets.
Well, she's not on the list for a reason.
And hasn't she been through enough this year? You assholes voted as number 9, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, true, though. True. For sure, true.
Oh, Chelsea's number 10.
Yeah.
So, sorry, screwed that up.
Possibly too low. Yeah.
The liberals pray he never has sex with her because he'd break her brittle, elderly bones and give Trump another Supreme Court nomination.
Oh,
number 8.
Come on.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
RBG.
Also accurate.
Mm-hmm. Says N.O.
She wouldn't like the view of Adam's hairy ass humping her. Joy Behar is number 7.
Yeah. He's in there.
We go out.
No.
She'd consider sex with him a hate crime, and he certainly wouldn't consider it a white privilege. It'd be a lose-lose if Adam had sex with number 6, Representative Maxine Waters.
Some chilly waters right there.
That's right.
Moving into the top 10 this year from 14 last year, she could do a long editorial on MSNBC about how disgusted she was. Rachel Maddow at number 5.
I'm disappointed in her. Oh, you.
Oh, in her spot?
I watch a show. I could see myself, you know, getting down with her. I find her attractive, but continue. Go ahead.
Keeping her position in the top 10, number 4 wouldn't want any of his goop. Gwyneth Paltrow.
That's fair.
That's good.
A perennial all-star.
Yeah.
It gets truer every year. The number 3 lady who'd be disgusted to have sex with Adam is the only person on the list who actually had sex with Adam. Lynette Carolla.
She's a perennial. She's an all-star.
And finally, not yet. She didn't make the list last year.
The penultimate.
That's right.
But had a strong debut at number 2 in 2018. A lock for this year's list. She'd fire off some tweets with the hashtag MeToo if she ever had sex with Adam. Congratulations, Alyssa Milano.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And finally,
Milano.
Stop it.
She wasn't on the list at all last year.
Ooh, wow. Who stole first?
Number 1 with a bullet.
Because we didn't know who the fuck she was last year.
Ooh.
Even though she hates guns. She's number 1 with a bullet in 2018.
Wow, how about that?
That's good.
She's practically a socialist and would probably flee to a socialist country if she had to have sex with Adam.
Yep.
She's Hispanic. She's a Democrat. She's young and attractive. And she'd be horrified to have sex with Adam. She represents New York's 14th. But she is our number 1. Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez.
Wow.
Fire. Yeah.
Heavy listeners. Political
nice.
Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice job, all of you.
That's good. There we all are.
Yeah. They're all made the list this
year. Wow. Inspired choices.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Some twists, some turns.
You have to do it. You have to make
the
list.
Can I tell you who didn't make the wait, was that the list?
That's the top 10.
That's
the
top 10. Yeah.
Is you're missing... she Australian comic who did that.
The lesbian.
Oh, the Nanette special.
The Nanette special.
Yeah.
What's her name?
See, the fact that we can't think of her
name. You got to be able to think of her name. Yeah.
What's her name? Oh, I thought Chris said it.
Hannah Gadsby.
Hannah Gadsby.
Yeah.
That's
maybe
true.
Maybe I'd make her laugh, you know, and we find some common ground.
She's not really into jokes. I don't know if you saw the special.
She's not into jokes.
She quit comedy. So.
She came in at number 82.
Oh, wow.
Oh, at 82, so she's on the list.
All right. Yeah.
She's got a great comment about, like, she's like, you know, only men. She had some sort of comment the other day, which was great. She gave it to, like, the woman's whatever. She said, you know, we can't have bad men, like, in this country or making decisions or whatever. The problem is all men think they're good men. So essentially, she just went, all men are bad.
Yes.
You don't know.
Yeah.
That's my new favorite part of watching TV when the pundit is up there and they're talking about, you know, white men are, and the white old guy, like white old men are the worst. And there's an old white guy on the other side going,
David Oxenstierna
preaching to the choir. And it's like, wait a minute. Not talking about you.
We all had our picks. I'm surprised Yoko didn't make the list.
I thought she did.
Yoko's 29.
Oh, okay. The first day we did.
Speaking of ladies and tweets, people have been tweeting me the bejesus out of this. Ellen is tired of being Mrs. Nice Guy.
Yep.
And
don't tell her to dance.
Don't tell her to dance. I've always had a theory that dancing was something she did to overcompensate for what was going on inside of her heart. You worked it, Ellen. I don't want to put you on the spot, Fitzdog, but how was it over there?
I was there for the first 2 years, and speaking of meaningless Emmys, I won 4 of them.
Glory years. Well, and Heidi Klum has rendered them meaningless.
Yes.
That's right.
I signed a non-disclosure agreement about the show, and I did speak about the show once, and I was contacted.
Post-haste.
Post-haste. That day. I spoke about it on the Stern Show.
Mm-hmm.
So my lips are sealed.
But the title of the New York Times article is what, Max?
Ellen DeGeneres is not as nice as you think.
All right. Well, we won't put words in your mouth.
By Greg Fitzsimmons.
Is the title of that article somewhat accurate?
Yeah. Well, the thing about non-disclosure agreements is they're binding no matter how long ago you worked at the show.
There's
no statute
of limitations.
But even if you just go, well, that's the title of the article. It's a good title.
Well, the thing about titles of articles is
you can tell them anything you want.
You can they don't – you know, look, I
– I got it. We read it.
This is second only to you trying to get me to drink again on the show.
All right.
I'd violate a court order and then have a cocktail.
Listen, I did here's how I break it down. I've done a show a couple of times. I break it down. If you travel around, you'll see staff that is scared and staff that isn't scared. When you do Kimmel's show or Jay Leno's show or any of those guys, you don't run into staff members that are fucking scared shitless.
Here we go.
Do Ellen's show, you shall run into scared members of the staff.
Wow.
Now, I have no idea where it's coming from, but they are scared. And when they produce your segment, they're doing it from a place of fear.
Boom.
And, you do not experience that in other shows, but you do
now as
an Ellen show.
As an entertainer and a personality, do you not want to do the show again? Some people don't speak out against shows. Like,
I'm out of fucking Hollywood. I'm not doing. I'm fucking done. So I realized. Look, here's my whole thing. I got no beef with Rosie O'Donnell. I like Rosie O'Donnell. I just didn't like the old version of Rosie O'Donnell where she pretended she wasn't Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
The whole sort of overcompensation. All the guys, like Alec Baldwin's just Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Right?
No, that's why we loved Letterman.
He's just that dude.
Right.
Like, he's just that dude. Fine. Just own it and be that dude.
Yeah.
And be fine. Don't be the aw shucks or super cool or nerdy guy or whatever, and then be a fucking huge douchebag behind the scenes. That's all I'm saying. Just be that person. I don't like that. The new Rosie O'Donnell is nuts and entertaining and fun and whatever. Or maybe there's a new Tom Arnold. I don't know. It's even a fucking weaponized Tom Arnold. I like this version of everybody. Just don't dance at the beginning of the show and then go back and scream at staff members.
Right.
That's all.
Right.
Just be that person.
Yeah.
It's not the raving bitch part. I take offense to the dancing part.
Right.
So we don't look at that part.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. You can. I think you should measure how much antidepressants and anxiety pills your staff takes.
Mm.
I think yours is just Mangria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone does a boot full of Mangria before the show starts, and then we get on with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember just doing the show, and they kept going, "You're not going to mention meat, are you?" And I was like, "No." We were talking about Christmas vacation and going to Hawaii and the twins, and like, okay, just don't say anything about meat.
Right.
And I was like, I'm not planning on talking. We talked about the stuff I'm going to talk. Yeah. This is just a please, no meat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And then they circle back. And like 10 minutes before I got there, I was like, no meat talk, right? Like, no meat talk, like hand shaking. And I'm like, no, but by the way, if you bring it up a third time,
yeah,
I will mention it because that's the way it goes. Fitzdog, whenever you thought, no more beating off for at least a day, how long before you're beating off?
By the second time I tell myself.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, did I ever tell you, I was beating off once at, I used to work on a show called Cedric the Entertainer Presents.
And it was
It was actually a great show.
Was that on the Hollywood Center lot?
Yes, it was. Yes, the man show was right across from us.
I remember just sort of walking across and going to say hi to you guys at some
point. Louis C.K. was on the staff. And so it was a lot of eating off. And and I was on there, and I would get bored. And whenever I get bored, I jerk off.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so...
Get together news quick! So
Fitzdog just yawned! Everyone duck!
It's like the Fur of the Gallagher concert.
You should have brought my umbrella.
So I go in the bathroom, and I'm jerking off, and then the executive producer walks into the bathroom, and he opens the door of the stall. I hadn't locked it.
Oh, my God.
And I was literally beginning my climax. And so I bent forward... And I just covered it. I went, I'm in here! And he walked out. He's like, oh, Jesus Christ! And he leaves, and like, we don't talk about it at all. And that, like, for 3 days, I'm waiting to get fired.
Sure.
I mean, this is pretty bad.
It's egregious.
Right.
And so, and then after like 3 or 4 days, we're sitting there, and somehow we're talking about bathrooms. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And he goes, yeah, I walk into the bathroom the other day, and I open up the stall. Fitzdog didn't lock it. I'm in there. He's taking a dump. I'm like, yes! I was taking a dump.
That's exactly what I was doing.
I was having an orgasm while taking a dump, but that's...
Best dump ever.
It was a great dump.
Gina, you and all women would be insanely disgusted if you found out like what percentage of men squeezed one off on the job site.
Yeah. I don't understand that because I get it. Like, we're wired differently. But like, if you're at work... How could you even wrap your mind around, like, feeling amorous?
Let me show you.
First off, see, this is a big mistake, this feeling amorous part of the sexuality.
Bored. Yeah,
boredom. Yeah. Boredom.
You want to get those creative juices flowing.
That's right.
Right on out of you.
Right. There is that. There's also the, if you think about it, it's going to happen, and you can't control thinking about it. So sometimes it'll just pop in your head, and if it pops in your head, it shall be.
It has to happen. You manifest it.
You manifest
it. You know, it's like, yeah, it's like your dream board. But I was...
Stay Puff Marshmallow Man.
Yesterday morning, I went... I had a kidney stone last weekend.
Oh. Mm.
So they sent me in to get my kidney x-rayed, a sonogram. So I go in, and I go into the room, and they put me into the robe that opens in the front. And I walk into the room, and there's this 5'3", 260-pound Russian woman with a crew cut.
Hot.
And she says, you get on the table. And she undoes my my shirt, and she takes – and, you know, she's got to rub that sonogram thing that's like a rubber mallet they have to rub on your stomach. And so she takes the lube out, and she could have done, I would say, a drop to two drops. She fucking covers my belly in lube.
Yeah.
And then she pulls back my underwear down so like my pubic hairs are showing. And she takes the thing and she starts doing deep circles in my lower abdomen. As she's doing it, her elbow is resting on my right thigh where I didn't plan it, but my penis is laying across.
Oh, wow.
Mm. And you know I have a big penis.
Yeah, you must. Yeah.
So the elbow's on my penis.
Cedric wouldn't hire you on. I mean, it was right on the application.
Welcome to the final part of the interview.
That's right.
He pulls out a ruler. What is going on?
And I know Louis C.K. is hung, too, because you don't pull your cock out in front of almost strangers all the time unless you have a big cock.
No, you're a lights-out guy with a small cock.
Like when you see the guy at the Giants game and his fucking shirt's off, and it's like, it's 63 degrees. How fucking hot is it outside? Yeah. It's like, I look like this with my shirt off. That's why it's got to come out.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So she's rubbing deep circles, elbow on the penis, and I fucking spring an erection against her arm.
Oh. Wow.
And she is like, and she doesn't say, you must turn to the left now. And I'm like, I now know I can get an erection in any circumstances.
Wow. Just I am a graze capable of an elbow.
At 52, a Russian overweight lesbian's elbow can bring me where I need to be.
Yeah. There's also a relationship that your penis has with pressure, which is sort of the same thing my dog has with the rawhide toy, which is it pulls one direction.
Okay.
But if you turn around 180 degrees, it'll just pull the direction you're pulling. The penis will push back. If it feels pressure, it will push back against the man, the system, the denim, the Russian forearm, like whatever it is. There's an element of you ever see like a crack in the sidewalk and just a sunflower is pushed up through it? You're like against all odds.
Yeah.
That's poetic. What Fitzsimmons' cock is like. And most guys, that when you got a boner in high school, it's because it was pushing against the jeans and it would literally be a battle for cock turf in your groin. And if you want to get rid of a boner immediately, all young men listening.
Oh, please.
When it's down and it's sort of trying to move and the gene is sort of pushing it down, they all know.
Okay.
Grab it, do a quick move where you go down and then up, pull it up, put it up against your belly. It can no longer push that direction. It's got nowhere to go but down.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's basically like Toro with it's literally a bullfighter. Right, you just let it go. Let it go right through.
Wow. Stick a couple knives in it.
Yeah.
That's right.
It really is like a testament to man's need to procreate. Like we will get an erection and fuck. I think when you die you get one, don't you?
I don't know.
Rigor mortis.
I've been to a few open caskets, but I think it would be in bad taste to check.
Mm-hmm. Or do a ring toss at a memorial.
But it's true, and they make a mistake, and they must know what the fuck they're doing, but they do this a lot. This happened to me when I was in high school getting like a physical for football. You can't take a guy who's 17 and do that move where the nurse goes, okay, just get in your underpants and the doctor will be in a few. Mm. And you're just standing there with your fucking in your underpants and you're 17 and you're standing there. You just start getting a boner because you're standing in your underpants somewhere and you're 17 years old. And the doctor's going to come in and he's going to do the hernia thing and he's going to do the turn your head and cough move. And you're standing there. And when you're 17 and you think, don't get a boner, you will now have three boners.
You spend more time in your life with a boner than without.
Right. That's right.
Three boners.
And I will, at this age, I will do a light fluff. If I've got the squirrel in the nest going on and the doctor's coming in and the room, of course, is 48 degrees.
Right.
I will reach down into my underwear and I will pull. I'll extend and flop several times just to make it presentable. But you don't want to go too far. No. Three flops, not four.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't want them to think you're into it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that's what I've said all the time. Like, well, first thing, I got down, I started doing push-ups. And everyone was like, how's that going to kill a boner? And I just said to myself, well, when's the last time you had a boner when you're working out, like physically working? That's the one time.
Fitzed
you know,
earlier today.
You know you're good. So I got down there and started doing push-ups, and it killed it.
Yeah.
That's good.
First few were difficult. Yes.
Has everyone here gotten a prostate exam?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you get an involuntary erection during that?
No. I feel it's very sort of wives' tale-y to go like, oh, yeah, guys, you milk that guy, go right into that. No. All I remember for mine is I've gotten one or two, and if the first one, the guy put the glove on, and he went, all right, you know how this goes. And I remember thinking, no, my behymen is pristine. Like, I've never done this. But you shouldn't do you know how this goes.
Yeah. Presumptuous.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
About a little discussion. How about a little foreplay?
The first time he put it in, and I was like, oh, God, and you're dreading it, and you're like, I'm going to be violated. And it is. You feel like a virgin and, you know, put on some Rod Stewart or something.
Yeah.
And then he gets a big goop, way, way more goop than he really needs to get it in there.
Yeah.
And he shoves it in, and I went from going like, oh, to like, oh,
and then spread those little cheeks and let me come inside because tonight's the night.
But then I was sad for like 3 days after that.
Yeah.
And I didn't know why. I just kept staring off into the distance.
1,000-yard stare.
And then when he pulls it out, there's so much goop that he gives you one tissue to wipe it out. It's like one tissue. I felt mm-hmm. like I was on the wrong end of a Brett Kavanaugh frat party. It was running down my leg.
Yeah, you got boofed.
All right. There must be big goo because they always put way too much of that stuff on, and they must have some sort of big deal with the hospital or the big goo manufacturers or whatever in the world. They do not spare the goo.
Isn't that better, though, than going in dry?
Always better too much than too little.
Yeah. I guess they want to err on the side of over-gooed fingers and also with the belly rubs and the pregnancy stuff. And the
Want a doctor who's so old that he just spits on his finger before he sticks it in.
Yeah, you don't want that. No.
You know?
Yeah.
Hope you're checking. Frontier doctor.
You're checking which way the wind is blowing, Doc, because it's all that finger's good for. All right. Let me tell you about Hunt the Killer. And, Gina, you get ready with that news. Okay. We'll go right into it. If you love an escape room, looking for clues, solving puzzles, bring the mystery home. Hunt the Killer, your new favorite obsession. Monthly subscription. And where you can become a detective immersed in a murder mystery. Mm. Each month is a fictional serial killer sends you clues, objects, and letters, and you use it to solve the problem in real time. Matt, the Porcelain Punisher, Fondelier, yes.
Yeah, boss. Yeah, we've been, my wife and I have been playing with this thing for a while. You get a new package every month, and it's not just a bunch of like printouts. It's high quality stuff, and it's an ongoing mystery. I highly suggest it.
Right now, our listeners can go to huntakiller.com/Adam and get 10% off your first box. They only accept 200 members per day, so hurry. That's huntakiller.com/Adam. Get your 10% off your first box at huntakiller.com/Adam. All right, let's do a little news, shall we, Gina Grad?
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, Forbes has released a list of America's wealthiest celebrities of 2018, and it's time to guess who made the list. I have
wealthiest or earned the most in 2018?
Wealthiest celebrities of 2018, and some of them do explain, you know, it's because they're clothing line or it's because they're this or they're that. I have, I believe, the top eight. Any guesses?
I was reading about Ellen DeGeneres. I was reading that article in the New York Times. And it said she made like $87 million last year.
Because the show is syndicated.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, syndication money is very different than network money. You own a piece of the show, and every market it's sold into, you get paid separately.
I get it. It's like Judge Judy money. But I would have been like, I don't know, $17 million, $21 million, but $80-something million dollars.
Well, though that is a lot of money, it's nowhere near enough to be in the top eight.
What?
Nowhere near.
Ellen was 15th. Shit.
Whoa. Yeah, that's not that's
near.
But right. No, because there is a giant drop off from 10 to 11.
All right. Mm. Well, they all got to be white males and heterosexual. That's what I know from watching
the news. My first guess
was
Oprah.
It's all got to be white and they all got to be male.
We'll see.
Cuz that's the society we built. That's
what it's net worth, not just how much they made this year.
Net worth.
Okay, Oprah.
These are Americans.
Males, all blue eyed.
All Americans.
Old.
They're celebrities.
Reptilian?
White, blue-eyed.
Entertainment.
Shiny, scaly skin.
That's what I know. Go ahead.
All right. Well, let's go. Let's start with number 9, shall we? Tiger Woods.
Wait a minute.
I know it doesn't fit the narrative.
White males. Don't you watch MSNBC? Haven't you learned anything? We dominate. We control everything.
This list is going to be very confusing for you. Mm. Number 9, Tiger Woods. Now, remember, Ellen's 87 mil is adorable. But this says it has him coming in at $800 million.
He's worth $800 million.
According to Forbes.
Wow.
Number 7 on the list, David Copperfield. Still going strong.
Now $875.
He has some glory here.
Yeah.
We're back.
He held on to it.
George H.W. Bush's favorite magician. Remember that was his line? He would grab girls' asses and he'd go, hey, do you like David Copperfield?
Oh, Copperfield. Oh, that's right. I forgot about
Real Don
that.
Rickles.
Rest in peace.
Mm-hmm. There's a tie for, I guess we'll call it 5 and 6 together.
Spielberg, Geffen, someone's going to be up.
Spielberg is on the list. He's number 2.
Oh, wow.
But a tie for, we'll say, number 5, 6, Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And
what?
Jay-Z.
Oh, no.
African-American gentleman.
I'm sorry. I'm going to re-crunch those numbers. Go ahead.
And the very self-made and proud of it, Kylie Jenner.
Okay.
What?
900
motherfucking
million.
She's a chick.
For what?
She can't be on that list.
Self-made billionaire on her way.
Does she have a jewelry line or something?
She has a cosmetic line. Number 4. Now, this is an interesting one.
Hold on. When you were 22, you were worth several hundred million dollars, weren't you?
If you lose the second half of that sentence, several hundred.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Isn't that insane? Number 4 is interesting. Obviously, a recognizable name and really, you know, hot right now. But number 4 on the Forbes list, Michael Jordan, $1.7 billion.
This is killing.
Got to stop.
They come out with a new pair of Jordans every year.
And also, 90% stake in the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, he has basketball teams.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. $1.7 billion. Number 3, Oprah Winfrey.
Okay. I explained to you the rules of the list.
You take umbrage.
Male, white, blue-eyed, yeah. Control everything, in charge.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Patriarchal system.
I get it.
Old.
White privilege.
Yeah.
Oppression.
I got
you
it.
You figured it all out?
I thought I had.
I'll let you get through the fake list,
okay.
And then you go back and make the real list.
You'll be comforted with number 2 and number 1.
Okay.
But yes.
Choose?
Spielberg. I guess the best we can do these days, boys.
Okay. Wait, can we guess on 2 and 1?
Yeah, well, Brian guessed number 2. It's Steven Spielberg at $3.7 billion. And who can guess number 1 on the list of America's wealthiest celebrities of 2018?
Oh, and
Tom Cruise.
So mm-hmm. Number 3 was Jordan?
It was Oprah.
Oh, Oprah, sorry.
Yeah.
Oprah.
Michael Jordan, yeah.
I was talking to Pete Siegel about Lucas.
I was just going to say George Lucas. He sold Star Wars to Disney.
And I don't know. I guess he's a celebrity.
Yeah. If Spielberg's on there.
You guys want to lock it in?
I'm going to lock in Lucas.
Mm-hmm. Number 1, worth $5.4 billion, Mr. George Lucas.
All right, we're back. Yeah.
Wow.
And exactly right. Thanks largely to the fortune he pocketed when his Lucasfilm production company sold to Disney for $4.1 billion in 2012.
I would have zero ideas on this except for Pete Siegel, director, was sitting where Fitzdog is sitting 24 hours ago explaining that he had a conversation with Lucas. And we were talking about the subject, and he did a take a knee, so you can hear the
Monday.
Take a knee on Monday. But we were having this interesting exchange about how insanely competitive people that you think don't need to be competitive, you know, mm-hmm. So rich, you couldn't spend all that money, and they're still like,
why do you care anymore?
And it was weird. I said, yeah, when I went to do a take a knee with Mel Brooks, I went to his office, and he busted out a review of his one-man show from, like, the Cleveland Plains Deal or something, and he showed it to me. Like, look, favorable review. Did you see this? He didn't even know who I was. He's 90,
yeah.
And he's
make a copy of it.
He's showing this run to me, and I'm like, you're Mel Brooks. You're covered.
Right.
And we're talking about, like, going to a party and talking to Stallone for an hour and a half, and he's feeling like he's underappreciated and got cheated and doesn't feel like, you know, feel like he should get the recognition that, and I realized that's everyone's like default setting. And he was explaining like Lucas is going like, you know, screw Spielberg, I'm the one who done the whatever. And it's like, you're both so far out of
Titans.
Yeah.
The rest of the world.
Right.
Yeah. The rest of the world is so far in your rear view mirror. You don't need to speed up.
Right.
And it's like, yes, we do. That's who we are. And then you kind of go, well, why is Stallone, why did he come up with 4 franchises?
Yeah.
Why is he doing push-ups somewhere right now? Right. Why is he going,
how's
he doing Creed 6 and Rambo 7 stuff? Because of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's who he is. That's who they are.
Did J.K. Rowling make the list anywhere? She got to be top 12. 15.
But do you think that drive?
She's a lady. She's not going to.
Do you think that drive comes from like an insecurity, or do you think it comes from wanting to have a legacy that's meaningful?
I think everybody has. So everyone is born this way, right? Like all men are, and then a hand, not a handful, but a percentage of women are in this trait, which is when you're nine and you like eat a hot dog and you ball up the foil and there's a trash can 7 feet away, you do that move, and the guy next to you goes, "Bet you're not going to make it." And you go, "Yes, I can." And all of a sudden, you're so invested in the, huh? It doesn't, and you're like, "Well, what's the difference between you making it or not making it?" Or you, it's like, "I'm in."
Yeah.
That's a general wiring I think people have. And then the more people that come in the room and the more people that say, "I bet you couldn't," or "I bet you could," like the bigger it gets.
Stokes the fire.
And then you just take that and you just take it off into your career and into adulthood and into whatever. Many guys have that. Some women have that. And when you do, that's it. You spend your whole life you think someone's betting against you, somehow having the other person in the room going, "I bet you're not going to make it."
Yeah.
Now, ups the ante, and it's kind of fooling yourself into getting up, motivating, creating, and what have you.
Right.
I don't know all that motivates.
Look at Michael Jordan. I mean, he stopped basketball. He took up golf, became so obsessed that he had to be the best golfer, had to bet on it, had to feel that rush of winning a bet. It's just like a personal, it's an insatiability.
Right.
On a personal level. Because I do know people that talk about their legacy. Like that they want to leave something behind. And I just think, I could give a fuck.
Yeah.
How did I do on the Friday Night Late Show? Okay, that's it.
I bet your family's thrilled. What do we got? An urn. Yeah. But by the way, we're making payments on it.
At least.
Because he didn't earn.
Because he didn't earn.
He didn't earn his urn. Now we're making payments on it. And when he died, all he left us was an urn. His dog was a rolling stone.
But all he did was whack off at his job.
He never did beat off at home. And when he died, all he left us was an urn. That ain't, Cedric the Entertainer said, "That ain't right." Ba-da-da, dun-da-da-da. Oh, we could write a song. This dog was a rolling stone. He never liked to beat off at home. I think we're off to a good start there. All right. Let me tell you. God, those people are rich.
Yeah.
You're not doing bad. What number did Adam Carolla come in? Did we research that?
Somebody.
This was top 10, so I think 11.
11.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. All right. I love it, and I hope I'll never turn on my mom. My mom has two jags. One is who needs that much money? It's like, you don't get it. It's not who needs, it's who earns, and back to Lucas and Spielberg, who gets to be the top dog. Mm-hmm. And especially if you ever sort of see the top of the mountain and see somebody else up there, those guys want to knock it off.
Yeah.
Her other good mom jag. We should have mom jags, which is, basketball. The tall guy just stands there, and then they throw it to him, and he just drops it in the hoop.
That was my mean grandma's take, too. Like, who wants to see a bunch of grown men in their underwear running up and down the court? It's like, they're world-class athletes, grandma.
I'd like to just apply that to everything in life. Like, you just get your beakers and Bunsen burners and Cure AIDS. Yeah. Whoop-dee-doo.
You can distill anything down to, like,
your little white jacket.
Yeah, Dr. Walter Reed, I cured malaria. Whoop.
Yeah. I gave $1 billion to charity.
La-dee-da.
Yep.
I know, it's stupid. Nice. I hate it when people get sing-songy, especially about sports. Big guys running into each other, patting each other on the bottom. Oh, boy.
Chewing gum.
Yeah.
Hitting a little white ball into a little hole.
Meanwhile, a school teacher averages $41,000 a year. I love when they pick some other job. And then you're supposed to go, "You're right.
That's an outrage."
Yes, you're right. Yeah, LeBron James should take all his earnings and sprinkle it out amongst the school teachers and janitors.
Why is anyone wearing their jersey?
Yeah, that school teacher. They don't have jerseys. Like, I love my idea. Yeah, Mrs. Parker has a jersey. Go buy the merch store and get one of Mrs. Sontag's fucking sweaters.
Licensed.
I know. Shut up.
There's guys on the road outside of school selling what to hats.
Yeah, that's right.
Mr. Mitchell's dandruff-ridden blazer.
Yes. All right, let me tell you about LifeLock, and then we shall continue. Holiday season is upon us. You want to save some money? How about you want to save some of those great gifts you got? You don't want to get your identity hacked. You don't want your identity stolen. Oh, they're trying to steal. They ain't trying to break in your house. They're trying to break into your identity, hack your computer, steal your identity, and then go out and run a big bill up. We don't want that. You're out there. Your info is exposed during the holidays. Your online shopping, your booking travel. It's the cyber criminals you got to look out for. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection has the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity and your devices. It's almost 2019, people. Let's get some LifeLock and protect our identity. Right, Dawson?
Of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but no matter the season, LifeLock with Norton Security is the right choice to help look out for threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code Adam for an extra 15% off your first year. That's promo code Adam for an extra 15% off at LifeLock.com.
All right, what else we got, Gina Grant?
Well, apparently Popeye's Chicken has a pretty good sense of humor. The fast food chain is getting on board with emotional support animals, sort of. Travelers passing through Philadelphia International Airport can stop and treat themselves to a three-piece chicken tenders combo served in its very own emotional support chicken carrier. Mm. I think we have a video here.
People have been tweeting me this.
It's very funny. There's a gif they show with the chicken carrier and the service dog in the background. The emotional support chicken is described by the company as its own version of emotional support animals that have pushed the limits for what airlines will allow on board during flights. And of course, we know Delta recently revised their rules. You can't bring a support animal on for a flight over 8 hours. The animal has to be older than 4 months old, but now you can bring your emotional support chicken.
Mm. Hey, can I say this? It's sort of like the schoolyard, like weird, rare occasion, but as a kid, once in a blue moon, someone would open up some like McDonald's for lunch at school, and like you're staring at your shit on a shingle and green Jello from the snack shack, and you're like, oh my god, you got a Big Mac? Like, shit,
is it your birthday?
This is a big deal.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than when you get on the plane now and somebody's brought something really savory and really good, and they just start unwrapping an In-N-Out burger, and you're staring at fucking trail mix or Fiesta mix or some sort of burnt, salty offering that the airline has given you, and this guy's undoing a double-double and fries, and you're like, holy shit.
How'd you do that?
Can't have that wafting through the plane.
No hot food.
What's going to have to happen, tell me if you guys are down with this. I think you will. For a million years, stadium food was just shitty stadium food. Whether it was a baseball game, a football game, it's like you can get some nachos, but they suck.
Pretzel.
You know, you can get a stew, you can get a pretzel, you can get that frozen carnation thing with the wooden stick that
is
breaks in half or
banana?
Whatever it is. The hot dog's going to be bad. The burger, I wouldn't even go near the burger. And then they started getting smart and having Jody Maroney sausage and all the different Carl's Jr. and everything else. Right, going, you get what you wanted.
Right.
At that stadium, and I think everyone's much happier watching the Dodgers now having some good food. We got to get that onto a plane. I can't, because I can't have a guy next to me eating an In-N-Out burger and I'm staring at the Fiesta mix. It's not going to work. Now we have to figure out a way. I don't know. Put the advertising on the tail fin. Figure it out. I know you can't have a cornucopia of ideas, but man, if there was an In-N-Out burger plane, I'd be on it.
You know who almost got there? And it's not the same thing, but before they went away, Virgin Airlines. And when they did go away, I tweeted, I was like, man, I'm really disappointed. And someone was like, oh, Alaska's just as good. No, they're not. Virgin had Crave beef jerky. And that is not In-N-Out, but are you on a plane?
Yeah.
Crave beef jerky?
Yeah, things have changed with Virgin.
Changed.
Yeah, I think we've got the space for a kitchen back there. It's just, I'm sorry, the flight attendants aren't going to be able to lounge out and play Sudoku during the flight. That's
too long.
Yeah.
Put in an island. Put in an island with some grills on it.
I know they got to move, too. I know my conspiracy theories aren't, the Twin Towers were taken down by the Jews or whatever. My thing is I know that the stewardesses and whatever flight attendants, they got this deal. I get it. Half the time you go to Vegas. at some point they tell the pilot, hey, 20 minutes in, do a little move on the yoke. Do a little move on the yoke, a little back and forth on the yoke, and then get into the blower and go, actually, we're experiencing turbulence, so I'll go ahead and ask the flight attendants, go ahead and sit down and buckle in, and we're going to suspend the drink and snack service because safety is the number one thing we're going
to do. We'd love to.
Yeah, they just let them sit down and just buckle in, and they're like, oh, I guess this is the rest of the flight.
It's out of my hands.
And then it always smooths out for the next 40 minutes. You're like, yeah, but the guy said, we're not...
it's too risky.
Tell me if you were a flight attendant, you wouldn't eventually just go, now, look, we never had this conversation. Just give a little bumpity-bump. You're a fucking Marine pilot back in the day. You flew against MiGs. Right. This is no big deal. Yeah. Just a little tap on the yoke.
The
then you get on the blower and you go, safety first. And then I'll sit down and finish my People magazine and buckle into my jump seat.
That sounds good.
I won't have to deal with your ass and asking you for beer and telling you we don't have cash. We don't take cash anymore. And then you arguing with me, this is America. None of that. I'm just going to buckle in. We'll ride out the
flight. It'll be smooth sailing after that.
Bathroom's all theirs.
Bathroom's all theirs.
No more. Sit back, drop a deuce.
No more.
In peace.
Or worse, as we figured out, right? Fitz dog?
I mean, Fitz style.
Yeah. Well, you know, we talked in detail about me on airplanes.
Oh, really?
Don't you remember where I talked about the how the wall in front of the toilet is at an angle?
It's a headrest.
And I would rest my forehead.
Oh, that's right. That's
and
right.
And we pitched out a new product, which would be a padding for the wall to put your head on.
Yeah, it'd be a lot like a bowling ball holder. You know what I mean? It's sort of round in shape, kind of cradle, easy to travel with. I'd probably have it unsnap and put it around my neck so I could go to sleep when I get back to the chair.
Catcher's mitt.
You're right. You just flip it around from your neck to your forehead.
That's right. That's right. But yeah, it's true.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. Like,
well, you don't want to walk back to your seat with a red square on your forehead.
No, but
people
what are you going to do?
Happened.
Not beat off on a commercial flight?
No.
That's obviously not on the table.
Yeah.
Now, I get it if you're taking a quick puddle jumper or something, but anything over an hour and a half.
You're changing one time zone.
This won't do.
Yeah.
If I'm in a nap, I need to snap.
Yeah, that's a good point. And especially, what are you going to do? Because you're a stand-up comedian. Your rhythm is, hey, I get up around 10. I squeeze one off at 11. I check my internet. Well, now all of a sudden you're heading to LAX and it's 9:30 in the morning. What can you do? Not beat off at 11?
Internal clock. Can't fight it.
Right. No.
Thank you.
You said clock, right?
Yeah.
All right. What else you got, Gina Graff?
Well, a new survey reveals that 73% of Americans don't get an end-of-the-year holiday bonus pay or raise anymore. Of those who get a bonus, the average amount is about $500. That's according to a survey from TopCashback.com. So what do Americans do with the bonus that they get? Well, apparently 33% purchase holiday gifts, 22% put it towards savings, 20% pay down debt, and 12% invest the money. But it's
12%.
Yeah, but a lot of people not doing that anymore.
Someone asked me about bonuses last night, and I thought, God, bonuses are – I don't know how many bonuses I'm handing out, but you know, you go like, a bonus, and you go $500 or $1,000 or whatever the bonus is. But then when you got to do it times 23 people, it starts to smart, man.
Yeah,
it
stings
not
a little.
I'm feeling it. Yeah, what about the man?
Yeah.
I'm no Tiger Woods.
Right.
You got to get on that list.
Yeah,
I got to give myself a bonus.
What a material bonus. You know, six pack for the garbage man, six pack for the, you know, the gardener or whatever.
Yeah, that's a weird one. I've never been able to figure out the – I've never done the mail one. I have no relationship with my mail person, and the reason I have no relationship with them is because I fucking work. Like if you're having conversations with your mail person, it means you're fucking a no count. It means you're not working hard enough because that person comes. Ask me when my mail carrier comes.
What time does
I have
mail?
No fucking idea. I'm at work all day.
Right.
I have no fucking idea. Who are the people that have these close relationships? And then there's the garbage man. That's another weird one. Not sure. Put it out with the garbage.
Well, that's the question. For the mailbox, you can leave something in and say, this is for you, but you can't do that in a garbage can.
No, they don't get out of the truck. Get out of the truck. I'll give you a bonus.
Yeah.
How do I know you?
I don't know you.
You're 7 feet above me.
You operate a robotic arm at 6:22 in the morning.
Right.
And here's how I know you don't get out of the truck.
I should tip the truck.
If I ever have the fucking can and it's not facing Mecca, like it's spun around the other direction and the weird bar that the mechanized hook hooks onto is not facing outward, they just fucking go right past can.
Yeah.
That is, get out of the truck, turn the fucking can around and get the robotic arm.
And why is it 622 for everybody? How do, it's like Santa Claus. How does Santa Claus show up at everybody's house at midnight and garbage men all show up at 622? You never see him in the afternoon picking up garbage.
I've Dr. Drew, I've sat next to Dr. Drew for the better part of 25 years, and he's never said anything mildly amusing or insightful. But the one thing he said that always made me laugh, but he wasn't being funny. I think he made a joke. I used to complain. Like, I lived up in the hills. I lived up in Lake Hollywood. The garbage man would come on Friday. They'd come at 6:22. I worked Loveline all fucking week. So I'd come home at 12:30 at night. I'd go to bed at 2 in the morning. We would shoot the man show on Fridays. So by the time we got to Friday, I'd worked a fucking long week. I'd worked like man show all day and then Loveline all night. And
five 2-hour shows.
We'd be.
I'm messing around.
How dare you? I'd have to fucking sit in that man show office all day and then leave the fucking Jimmy and Daniel where they do the, where are you going? I hate when people do that where it's like, it's 7. I'm going home.
Must be nice. Early.
We're ordering sushi. Yeah, I get it.
You
get it.
You must be on the executive program.
Everyone hates their wives, but I don't, and I'm fucking leaving.
All right.
So now, the fucking garbage man, times three, because there was the recycling truck, the garbage
different
truck. Same day. They would all come the same day. The cycling truck, the leaves truck, the backyard leaves truck, and then the garbage truck. And they'd come up the hill and be like, nee, 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 because a car would like be coming down the hill. And they'd be like, and it's all through the cane. It's just a robotic arm. And I've slept, and I had a house on West Shire Drive, like up in the top, and I'd sleep up in it, just a single house from the 20s, single pane glass. I'd just be laying there in my bed just all morning. Beep, beep, beep. Six. And Dr. Drew said, and he used to complain to him about it. You know, back then I didn't let it fly so much. I kept it closer to the vest. But I said to him, Drew, this drives me fucking nuts. And he said, when have you ever lived at a place where the mail got there before the garbage truck? And I thought, never. It's always the fucking garbage man at 6:22, and then something to do with the mail. Back when the mail meant something, it's like, it's 4:30. Where's the shit got here yet? No, it's not here yet. Well, it should be coming. Like, the mail guy would come at 6 at night, and the garbage comes. And I said, what a utopia, a place where the mail showed up at 6:22. So it's like you're heading out to your car and like, what did I get in the mail today? And the garbage guy showed up at 3 in the afternoon when you were at fucking work.
Yeah.
What a goddamn utopia. One of the little things, you guys, like I tell people all the time, you know, they're looking for a house and they're looking around and they go and the open house is on Sunday and they show up on Sunday. You buy the house and you find out on Monday Waze is steering everybody off of Highland Boulevard and up your side street.
That happened to my street.
You'd have no fucking way of knowing. Yep. You go on Sunday and look at the house. There's it's a ghost town. Right. Monday, 9 in the morning, 5 in the afternoon, and everyone's being diverted across your fucking front lawn. You got to check that shit out.
Visit different
That's
times
great.
Before you buy that house.
Yeah, and now on Waze, you can check in advance. Like, what's it like on a Monday at 4? That's a brilliant idea.
Well, here's the brilliant idea. My block became a detour block. So everybody in the neighborhood on our way home, when we get to our block, we report an accident.
I talked about this one time.
Sends them back to the original route.
That's awesome.
On Waze, you reported
that was a news story that people were so sick of being the detour that they were reporting fake accidents to keep people from going down their street. Yeah. You were the guy.
I'm
saying, smart, before you buy the house, don't go there Sunday. Go to the open house on Sunday, but show up Monday afternoon and see what the traffic's like going by your front door, because that's when you'll get an idea for it. And by the way, before Waze, there would still be people turning off and I'm going up Outpost. Right. I'm not going up Highland or whatever it is. And it'd be a lot of traffic. Like, you'd think to yourself, anyone who lives in that house is trying to back down their driveway is going to hit somebody. Find out when the mail gets dropped off and find out when the garbage gets
and show up. And show up in December and see if you got a bunch of jackasses putting Christmas stuff up out of control. Too many lights,
Halloween,
a sled on the roof. Yep,
that's right. Turning into a candy cane lane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of traffic. Yeah. It's a traffic issue.
Yeah. The nativity scenes probably crosses the line.
That's probably says something.
All right, let me tell you about MedMen. There you go. Holiday shopping done. I didn't think so. Take care of everyone on your list with One Stop. MedMen, celebrating the first legalization-friendly holiday season in approved states with awesome deals. Looking for some stocking stuffers? They got a whole section over there. Gifts for $20 or less, exclusive bundles from premium brands. Not sure what to buy? Can't go wrong with the MedMen gift card, then. Let's let the happy friend or loved one pick out what they like. It's now available in all stores. And you can visit any of MedMen's California or Las Vegas locations, including the new Vegas store, now open on Paradise Road in Harmon. What do? You go to MedMen.com. They find the store nearest you at MedMen.com. Right, Dawson?
Start a new holiday tradition this year with MedMen. And don't forget to use code Adam Carolla at checkout to get $10 off your purchase. Be a holiday hero this year with MedMen. Limit one per customer. Terms and conditions apply. Keep out of reach of children. For use only by adults 21 years of age and older.
All right, one more, Gina Grant.
All right. A high school in Kentucky is truly getting their students prepared for life, or at least they're doing their best, by offering adulting conferences for their seniors. The Bullitt Central High School conference was filled with courses that'll teach students how to change a tire, how to cook, how to manage their finances, according to KFI News. These seniors at Bullitt were given one-on-one sessions with a mentor and taught all this information one-on-one. Some other things they could learn to do were their taxes, talking to police officers during traffic stops, and getting homesick when they're at college and how to handle it.
Adulting. Sad, but necessary.
The name is ridiculous. Adulting, but
well,
but
become the name.
Well, I wish someone had taught me how to do taxes when I was in, you know, a senior in high school or whatever. File for a credit card. Yeah, stuff.
And we've talked on the show about it would be great in driver's ed if they said, hey, jackass, this is what happens when you get pulled over. Don't do anything dangerous or risky. That's going to put everybody at risk.
Yeah, it's weird. I took a million like home ec classes and we cooked and sewed and stuff. And there was never any discussion about filing taxes or getting credit cards or changing tires or any of the stuff. In a weird way, it's kind of a dereliction of duty. Like, I feel like you have like a sort of, you know, this thing where you go, we're preparing these young men and young women. We're preparing them to go out into the world.
With calculus.
Not really. No. Yeah. Like, knowing trigonometry is great, but when you break down by the side of the freeway, knowing how to change a flat is a little more important.
Yep. Right. Or you graduate high school and you take on a credit card with a $20,000 ceiling on it.
With 30% APR.
Yeah.
I could only get the Bank of Hovind's secured credit card. I got my first credit card when I was like 28, and it was like the Bank of Hovind, and you had to give them $500, and they'd give you $300 worth of credit. Like, I was like, what if you gave me $450? How badly could this go for you if you gave me $450 out of the five? And they're like, no.
You're a math major.
So I bought a $300 mountain bike, and I never rode it once, and then just kept paying them back. It was like 18% interest.
Right.
That sucks.
People have no... It's the system is basically, all financial systems are basically there to fleece people who have the least.
Yep.
And it's not because they're evil. It's just because if you show up on a used car lot and you're fucking car savvy and you're financial savvy and you're savvy and you start talking, that person's not going to get over on you.
Right.
This is not going to work. Like the thing is. Everybody in the financial world is just kind of a vulture, and they would like you to pay the highest interest for the longest period of time. And we do like, oh, that's not right, or that's not fair. That's just who they are. They're in the financial business. They're not there because
they're not guidance counselors.
They'd work at a fucking hospice for llamas if they were good people. Llamas stricken with AIDS.
Yeah.
But they're not. They want fucking money. That's why they're in the financial sector.
Right.
And they don't have any qualms about charging the poor person 14%. I mean, you go in and try to buy a used Ford and you have shitty credit, you pay 13%. You're rich, have great credit, you get 0.9.
Right.
Whatever. It's all set up that way. Now, here's the bigger problem. The bigger problem is the poor people come from the poor people. So you have my fucking parents giving you no financial advice, and then you stumble into all these bad situations, yep, and you get fleeced. The people who come from the wrong side of the tracks and have parents or a parent who are least likely to know anything about finance are the ones who get taken advantage of the most, because the system is set up that way.
If you have no health insurance, if you have health insurance, there's what they call a negotiated rate, which means you're already covered, and then your company says, we'll pay you less. If you go in with no insurance, you pay more than the guy who's already getting coverage.
The system is – I kind of say it all the time. We want to say it's evil or it's bad. It's greedy. Mm-hmm. It's just greedy. Yeah. They'll take whatever they can get whenever they can do it.
It's set up to make money.
It's set up to make money. So you need knowledge. And if you're not going to get it at home, and so many don't, but you're going to go to school all day
– might as well.
You might as well get some imparted wisdom financially there. Yeah. And then you can take that in to negotiate when you buy your first used car, instead of making Pillsbury Parmesan popovers, which is what we made in home.
Nutritious.
And then taking that out to get a Bank of Hoven credit card.
Economics.
Years later.
Economics.
Yeah. Right.
Never took, I never even, you know, it's like, hey, taking history class, and you're taking sewing and ceramics. And it's weird. It feels like it's almost set up for you. And then you think about the credit cards that are sold at colleges, and then college loans itself.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
What's college? College is fucking evil,
there
too.
We go. Yeah.
I was just going to say that I got my first credit card on a college campus because I was so dumb, and they said they'd give me two Slinkies.
Yeah.
I took them, and I ruined my credit for the next 15 years.
Right.
Why are they allowed to come to school and prey on 18-year-olds?
Because guess what? Everyone's like, well, Union Carbide and GM and Monsanto, those guys are evil, but this college, they're warm and fluffy. No, they're evil, too. They just want your – by the way, none of them are evil. They want your fucking money.
They're greedy.
That's how it all works. And we sort of assign these kind of personalities. Yeah. Like, oh, college campus. Oh, they're looking after you. They had orientation and parents came in. It was all good. It was all good. And then they fucking rip you off.
Absolutely.
Thank you. All right. Learn your shit, people. Here we go. Bring it home.
Oh, okay. For the last time in 2018, I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
I'm in here!
Gina!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, Simply Safe. Simply Safe, two eyes in there. You get some good home security and get the protection you deserve. Ridiculously easy to use. No hidden fees or pricey contracts. Get it at simplysafe.com/Adam. Fitz Dog, everybody, is going to Nyack, New York. He's going to Portland. He's going to Cleveland. Show's coming up all through the end of December and into January. You can go to FitzDog.com.
There we go.
Find out all the dates. I'm doing a live show at Irvine Improv on the 24th with David Zucker. We'll do a cable commentary. We'll do Airplane up there. It's a long story, but I'll tell you all about it. Later, you can check out Fantasy BS. Oh, Sonny's here, right?
Should be.
Should be doing that podcast. Check that out at Podcast One, Apple Podcast. We got the cruise. We got the chassis store and Corolla Drinks. Say hi to Lynette. Until next time. Tomorrow, the Big Ace Awards 2018. Good sports coming up with me and Sheck. Until next time, Santa Corolla. For Greg Fitzsimmons, Gina Grad, and Ball Bryan, say mahalo.
Oh, I can't get it up.
Stick around, because fa-la-la-la-la. Coming up next is Good Sports with Adam Carolla and Dave Damashek.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the final Good Sports episode of 2018. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Make sure you check out the Dave Damashek football program and Daves of Thunder wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Those, of course, great times, but nothing more fun than getting to sit here with the Ace Man every week and chop up the world of sports and the game of life. Let me tell you quickly about Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list, drop off dry cleaning, pick up some milk, add, save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance if you want some extra money in your pocket. And who doesn't? That's the most rewarding thing to do on your to-do list today.
All right, Geico, Ace. Baby. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Ace, this is it. Like I say, I've appreciated a great year. I tell you can ask Gary if this to verify this. I swoon. What a great and lucky thing it is for me to get to sit here with you for 10 minutes every day and kibitz on your world-class podcast.
Well, right back at me.
Yeah. I have a question for you, though, with the holidays nigh.
Yes.
What holiday has the best color scheme? If you think about it, they all have color schemes, and you have I've said this to you before while we're filleting you. You're great with construction, and you can erect an entire home, but what I've noticed and appreciated in your homes is that you have a keen and bold sense for color schemes. Mm. I remember your mint floors? The mint wood floors, that was an awesome – I would never think to do that, as well as you had those midnight blue walls in the one bedroom. And also, I thought, who would ever do that? And it looked awesome. But anyway.
Thank you, Shaq. And for that reason, I go Hanukkah. And the reason I go Hanukkah is because that is a light or powder blue and white. And
it is. It's a royal blue. Right?
That is a dynamite. I don't think it's royal. I think it's a lighter blue. But royal's a darker blue in my mind.
It's kind of like, well, I think of it as like the Colts colors.
Oh, well, that's interesting. We should find the official Hanukkah colors. Maybe it's Israeli flag. I don't know. But I find it a little more powdery or baby. But blue and white is a great combination together. It's also American racing colors. So different countries have their colors. If you say Germany, their color is silver. So Mercedes race cars from the 50s and the 60s were all silver. If you picture Le Mans, the 50s.
No way. I had no idea about that.
England is British racing green. It's that dark forest green you see on the Jaguars and the Aston Martins and, you know, that look.
Yeah.
Italy is red. France is yellow. Like Now, it's not a rule. It's just a kind of rule of thumb. It's that if it's the 50s or the 60s or even the 70s and we're looking at Le Mans, then you'll go, all right, the silver cars, those are the German cars. And American cars were white. Yeah, that's the color I'm thinking of, like a little more
just a little softer than royal.
A little less royal. Do not sleep. You can find me a powder blue car with a red interior. Oh, sorry. I'll put a white interior on a powder blue car. I think there's a Lamborghini Mirror out there that's powder blue. It's a great looking color. It's weird. It's in your world, you go, well, I want my car to be red or black or white or silver or gray or midnight blue, but you don't pick this powder blue. It's a really cool.
Oh, it's a lovely color.
It's a lovely color. It works on a car as well. So, I go Hanukkah, I go blue and white, and because I'm an American and working on a documentary about Carroll Shelby, blue and white were the American racing
colors. If you want to abide by our holidays, then I would think you would go with Independence Day, red, white, and blue. Can't get much more USA than that. Or do you go Valentine's Day, which is red, and sometimes you see some pink in there. I don't know that that's formally been announced by the holiday committee, but I think you can work some pink into that one. Then you got your Jets colors, your St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, then you got your Bungles and San Francisco Giants colors at Halloween, the black and orange. By the way, that gets my award for the best color scheme of a holiday.
Gary, get the blaster ready.
Those are great colors. That's a nice
thing. No, I may be turning it on myself.
Oh.
As I wade into these controversial waters.
Thanksgiving has like kind of unofficial orange and brown, I guess, is what you would say. Unimpressive.
Pull the hammer back on the blaster as I delve into this area. I'm an atheist from North Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
You're a fellow of the Jewish persuasion.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, so steeped in your Jewish faith that when the tragedy at the synagogue happened in Pittsburgh, that was a synagogue that you'd been to, right?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, I was bar mitzvah there. I went to Sunday school there. My old man would pick me up there 8 times every autumn early so I could so we could make way to Three River Stadium for the Steelers game. Yeah.
Strong argument for your Jewish faith. I grew up amongst Goyim atheists in North Hollywood. Why did I have the color of the Jewish flag and the holiday, the Festival of Lights? Why was I more dialed in to the shade of blue than yourself?
I don't know. And yeah, I'm busy swooning over witchcraft, the black and orange.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. Yeah, strange bedfellows in these color schemes.
The royal blue is a more cultsy kind of blue, but that is a deeper, darker blue, and the powder more baby blue. That's probably the color. Now, is that the Israeli flag as well?
Let me check, but I can tell you that by RGB code, which is the numbers that are assigned to colors, this is called Hanukkah blue.
Hanukkah blue.
That's what this one is called, according to
colorlovers.com. Is that right? The one you just showed us, it's a little softer, huh?
Yeah, I can show you again. Right above it, it says Hanukkah blue.
That's also the answer every 14-year-old Jewish boy gave when someone asked him, how was Hanukkah this year?
Hanukkah? I thought that was going to be a little bluer, actually, than what you said.
So when I look at the
By the way, 14-year-old Jewish boys aren't getting blown. That's why I'm sorry.
No, you're okay.
I can confirm.
The flag of Israel is much closer to what I would call royal.
Ooh.
It is a here. I'll pick it up and show you.
Why are the Jews leaving blues on the table there? They got a much more royal blue.
Much more.
You're going blue and white. You already have your sort of official Jew blue. Why not put that on the flag?
It's a fair question to ask. I don't know. Maybe they're doing like a Toronto Argonauts, Tennessee Titans kind of thing. They want the dark and the light. You know.
All right. They selling throwback flags.
I'll round it out with this because I bring it up at least once a year. The worst thing ever was being in school around the holidays and once a week the music class and everybody would have to sing the Christmas carols. And it wasn't bad enough. I didn't understand what this business with God and all that. But I knew that as a Jew, it was inappropriate for me to be praising Jesus. He's not my God. So when it was weird, like Silent Night, like, everybody has to sing like Christ the Savior is born. He's not my Savior, but I had to sing it. But I would mouth it. That was my secret. I wouldn't actually say it. I would pretend I was singing it, Ace. But then about 2/3 of the way through class, the music teacher on the piano, she would say, now, everybody, because I was the only Jew, she would say, now, everybody, let's sing a song for David. And everybody would go like, and I'd be like, oh, man, why do you objectify me like that?
Poor little blonde head kids were like, I had a little dreidel. God damn it.
They
did a fucking play.
I hate it.
When it's trying. Yeah. Okay. I get it. Dreidel. With the dreidel. Okay.
That's exactly how it went. How do you think that made me feel? But, and then you wonder why I have bad self-esteem. That kind of crap. Institutionalized. All right. But you know what boosts my spirits? Getting to visit with the Ace Man on Good Sports. And I think that's a good place to leave it with one more item still to discuss.
Oh, and the best for last. Butcher Box, everybody. Love me some Butcher Box, delivering healthy, 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken and heritage breed pork directly to your door on a monthly basis. All products are humanely raised, never given antibiotics or hormones. Taste is unbelievable. Each box comes with 9 to 11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 individual meals, free shipping anywhere in the U.S. except for Alaska and Hawaii. No commitment. Cancel anytime. It is the best. I put a second refrigerator in my garage because of Butcher Box and all their great offerings. Look, it's all about time. It's all about effort. Now, it's not about, are you going to have some chicken? Are you going to have some steak? Are you going to have some pork for dinner? Of course you are, but let's not be that person who's stuck at home.
Oh, we're
going to
have
nothing
it.
There.
I'll tell you, I'm excited for the holidays because we have at least one pork-based meal coming, and we still have some steaks to eat from our most recent Butcher Box delivery.
And they got a special offer. Subscribers get $20 off plus free bacon for life. As long as you subscribe, you get free bacon at ButcherBox.com. Enter the code Adam at checkout at butcherbox.com.
Excellent food, excellent segment, excellent year with you, Adam Carolla. Good luck to all the to the winners. Congratulations in advance in the Ace Awards. We'll be back at the start of 2019. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, good sports out.
Good sports.
And follow Lalo us on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter and like him on Facebook at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. We'll see you out at the 10E Booze and Book Club. January 8th at 10E in downtown Los Angeles. All Breed, Left of Boom. We'll hang out with CIA guy Doug Laux. It's a good time. Also try the new Mangria cocktail, the Left Turn Arrow. Follow at Carolla Drinks for ticket information. Tickets and info on the live podcast, Mangaree Events, books, movies, and more. Go to AdamCarolla.com. And stay tuned for AP News.